In the Bible, if you would, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Good point. Help us all. Mark chapter 5, I want to read the account of the woman today, the woman who came to the Lord in great need, a woman with the issue of blood. I'm continuing on setting our house in order from the life of Hezekiah, Isaiah 38, verse 1. Remember, he was told, set your house in order, for you shall surely die. Well, we've been looking at setting our house in order in many different ways. We're going to continue along those lines this morning. We're going to read, beginning in verse 24. I'm in Mark 5, 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So they were surrounding him in a great crowd. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. This is a great account of a woman who is never named, a woman whose life was out of order, her health was out of order, her body was out of order. In fact, it ruined her whole life. She got sick and it ruined her whole life. And it's, of course, a blessed account of how the Lord cared about her and touched her and healed her, restored her to health, and restored her whole again. Amen. It's a story of faith. Amen. And, you know, sometimes faith can get out of order. Amen. We can start thinking the wrong thing, believing the wrong thing, having trust or confidence in the wrong thing. Sometimes our faith has to get back in order again so that it's focused on Christ and His Word alone. Amen. Sometimes people get funny notions, you know. They think that faith is in a tradition or a ritual or some religious act. Maybe they feel like, you know, I didn't say enough prayers, so God's not going to hear me. Our faith has to come back. It always has to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, and stay there and always stay focused there. Here's a woman whose faith brought her life back in order. And I would like for us to think about that today a little bit, because here's a lady who faced incredible discouragements in her life. But she was rewarded for trusting in the Lord by being healed and made whole. You know, this story is told in all three of the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptics. It means they see, to see together. It's parallel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all tell the same story of Christ's life and ministry. John's is a little different. It's still a gospel, but John's is unique. You know, John's goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John's is the great theological gospel. But all three of the synoptics tell this story of a woman who, with an issue of blood, came through the crowd, the press, touched the Lord, and was made whole. Now, you know, it's a remarkable account because she was considered ceremonially unclean. To have an issue of blood made you unclean. You don't have to turn here, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you from the law. This is in Leviticus chapter 15. I'm going to read beginning in verse 19. Listen to this. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whoever touches her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sits upon shall be unclean. And whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. And you know, even if she stopped bleeding, even, you know, in her normal monthly cycle, once she stopped bleeding, Leviticus 28 says, if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, after that she'll be clean. So she was unclean even 7 days after the bleeding stopped. Then she was supposed to bring a sacrifice, one for a burnt offering, one for a sin offering, and so forth. So I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the plight of this woman in the culture that she lived in. Because as a Jew, as a pious Jew, do you know she would be, with this 12-year-long issue of blood, she would be a social outcast. Do you know that her own husband could not have any intimacy with his wife for 12 years? Do you know that she would be unable to pick up her own child, a crying child, without contaminating the child with uncleanness? Do you realize the stigma attached to a person in this condition? Do you know that she would not be allowed to attend the synagogue? She could not go worship at the temple. She would be a social outcast. And this is how this lady lived for 12 years. 12 years. A social outcast. She would have to be apart, as the verses say in Leviticus. Apart. Because she was unclean. It means if there was a crowd of people, she couldn't go in that crowd. Because if she touched somebody, they would be unclean. She would not be allowed the normal affairs of life in society. People like her would be required to keep their distance, stay to themselves. This was her plight for 12 long years. Now, you know, we've been talking about getting our lives in order. Here's a lady whose life was totally out of order, hopelessly broken. Her relationships, everything was in disarray, and it wasn't her fault. Y'all awake? It wasn't her fault. It wasn't her own doing. It's not because she did something wrong. She was sick. The lady got sick. You know, that happens. It's unfortunately a part of the human condition, and that is that we are mere mortals, and none of us are indestructible, and we are all susceptible to the attacks of age and all the things that go with the human condition. You know, even the most robust person, even the healthiest person, can fall victim to, a disease agent so small you couldn't see it unless you had a powerful microscope. Amen. Something that small could bring down the biggest, healthiest person. That's how weak and frail our human condition is. That's why we need the Lord so desperately. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to trust the Lord, because, look, it's a dangerous world that we live in. I read an article just recently about the 10 most dangerous creatures on the earth, the things that kill more people than any other things. And you would think, you know, lions and tigers and bears, aha, lions and tigers and bears. But that's not, they weren't even on the list. Some of the things that were on the list were kind of surprising. Number 10 on the list was crocodiles. You know, fortunately, we don't really have crocodiles over here, but they kill like 1,000 people a year all over the world. Tapeworms, those nasty bugs that get in your intestines, they kill a couple of thousand a year. Roundworms kill a couple thousand a year. Then there are things like freshwater snails. Who would have thought something like that would be a deadly killer? But it does, because it carries a particular bacteria. That kissing bug that Gordon's always warning people about, that thing kills thousands of people every year. The tsetse fly kills thousands of people every year. Guess what kills 25,000 people a year? Dogs. Mostly from carrying rabies, you know, in other parts of the world. 25,000 a year. Oh, they said last year only 33 people died from being mauled by dogs worldwide. So that's 33. That's not many at all. But 25,000 died from rabies from dogs. Snakes kill 50,000. The number two biggest killer of human beings is human beings. 475,000 a year. And the number one most dangerous creature on earth, the mosquito. Isn't that something? The mosquito, the tiny little mosquito, they kill more, and I guess they make hundreds of millions of people sick every year. So, you know, no matter how robust, healthy, vigorous a person is, we are susceptible people. Here's a lady who got sick, and it wrecked her life. She got sick, and unfortunately, she stayed sick. She did not recover. And at this point where we began reading, look, the Bible says, verse 25, for 12 years, that's long years, that's lonely years, to have to be apart, to be isolated like she was. You know, sickness for all of us in many ways is one of those battles that we have to fight alone. It's not that other people aren't around you. It's not that other people don't pray for you. Amen. But you know, when you're battling real sickness, real illness, you're the one late at night in the midnight hour that's doing battle against the mind, you know, all the thoughts racing through your mind, fighting the devil. It's just you and God and the devil. And the battle is raging in those long, sleepless nights. And sometimes a person feels like, you know, when you're sick, you're tempted to feel like God's not even here. He's not even listening to me. He's nowhere around. But of course he is around. And he's always listening. But when you're sick, your body sends you the wrong messages, you know. It's out of order. And our mind is assaulted. But we have to remind ourselves that we don't walk by feelings, but by faith. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling. That is, we live our lives, we govern our lives according to what the Bible says. Right. Not what we feel like. Amen. We live by our trust in the Word of God. That's right. But you know, 12 years is a long time for somebody to be sick. I think she was sick of being sick, don't you? And look, verse 26 tells us that she didn't just totally neglect herself or neglect her health, because this lady got a second opinion and a third opinion, And no telling how many opinions, because verse 26 says, she suffered many things of many physicians. Many. She sought out not one doctor or two, but many. To try and get some help, to try and get some relief. And obviously she took many, many different treatments. Probably swallowed many nauseating potions and concoctions, exactly. I did come across one of the prescriptions. Actually, it's a whole list of prescriptions that's outlined in the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, for healing a woman with what they would call a hemorrhage, you know, for healing this very condition. This was translated from the Talmud by a Dr. John Lightfoot, a 17th century theologian. I want you to listen to this. Here's what the Talmud says. You know, they did have doctors, right? Yeah. The Jews did have doctors. So Rabbi Jochanan says, if a woman is going through this condition, take the gum Alexandria of alum and of Crocus hortensis, the weight of a zuzi each, let them be bruised together and given in wine to the woman that has an issue of blood. Yeah, I don't know what that was. But it says, let her drink that. And if that fails, then take of Persian onions 9 logs, boil them in wine, give it to her to drink, and say, arise from thy flux. But should that fail, set her in a place where 2 ways meet, and let her hold a cup of wine in her hand, and let somebody come behind and affright her, and say, arise from thy flux. I guess they thought maybe it's like hiccups, you know, you will scare it out of her. But if this should do no good, take a handful of cumin, and a handful of crocus, and a handful of Greek. Let these be boiled and given her to drink, and say, arise from thy flux. If this doesn't kill her, if this doesn't fail, then dig 7 trenches, burn in them some cuttings of vines not yet 4 years old. Let her take in her hand a cup of wine, and let her be led from this trench and set down over it, and let her be removed from that and set down over another, and in each removal say unto her, arise from thy flux. Yeah. And if that doesn't kill her, you know. Well, you know, the Jews did have their physicians, and they did have their medicines. The Bible speaks of, them treating wounds and treating broken bones and so forth. There's an interesting reference in Exodus 21, verses 18 and 19, that requires you to pay for somebody's medical treatment if you hurt them. You know, like maybe y'all got in a little knockdown brawl or whatever. Well, you're required to pay for their treatment until they recover. But seeking a physician for one's illness or wounds or whatever was not considered sinful, wasn't considered a lack of faith. Jeremiah 8, verse 22 actually laments. It's poetic language, but it laments Remember Jeremiah 8, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why then are my people not healed? Of course, he's drawing a parallel to the fact that there, you know, God has his messengers. He's got his prophets. You have the law, and yet you don't listen. You don't pay any attention. And that's, you know, a message that the Lord was trying to get across to them. What good is a physician if you're not going to go? But that was the message to Israel, who had forsaken their God. And he said, you have the temple, you have the sacrifices, you have the law, you have the prophets, you just don't listen to them. You don't pay any attention to them. But the Lord himself uses similar language when he said, those who are whole need not a physician, but those who are sick. You know, in biblical times, however, the physicians weren't always held in the highest regard, unlike today. Today, the doctors think they're gods, and a lot of times people treat them as though they are. But, you know, in biblical times, there was, I came across another very interesting list of professions that the Jews looked at with, you know, with very low regard, very low esteem. And that would be people like butchers and camel drivers and donkey drivers. And along in that list was physicians. They did not think very highly of physicians, but let me tell you why. It's because they believed the physicians only favored the rich and they would not treat the poor because the poor didn't have anything to pay. So if you want a physician's treatment, you got to pay. And if you're poor, you can't pay. If you can't pay, no treatment for you. Here's a lady who spent everything she had. So she had something to pay. And she kept paying and kept paying and kept paying until she had nothing more. She spent everything she had. And look, she didn't spend it on frivolous things. Like, we know people who don't have anything, but it's because maybe they spent it. Oh, they just got paid. Can't pay the rent, but I got this fine new designer purse. Yeah, got to have that. Can't live without that. Here's a lady who wanted to, she just wanted to be well. She wanted to be whole. The Bible says she spent everything that she had. And nothing helped. Verse 26, notice, he says, she suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. No better at all. Not the least bit of improvement. In fact, if anything, she continued to grow worse. Her condition deteriorated. She would be considered incurable. Now she was not only sick, but she was broke. She was an outcast, sick, and penniless. And that's what you call getting to the bottom of the bottom, right? When you think about it, her condition was very desperate. She had to be near to death at this time, exhausting everything, every means known to her. And like somebody said one time, I'd have to die to feel better. She probably felt pretty much like that. And then verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus, she heard of Jesus. Look, there's a lot of folks that are in this lady's condition. They just don't know it. Where they are outcast, maybe outcast from their own families because of sin in their lives. Maybe their sins have brought great division and really broken their family. There are people who are sick physically, emotionally, mentally. They are broken. They have tried. Of course, they think they've tried everything. There are people who are just like this, at the bottom of the bottom. Amen. Feel like they've lost it all. This lady had nothing more to lose. I mean, she lost it all. Amen. But she heard of Jesus, verse 27.
Thank you, Lord.
She heard of Jesus. Praise God.
Yes.
What a lesson here that we see. Because this woman is a perfect picture of a lost soul. You know, here she is, sick, diseased, grievous illness, unclean, outcast, nothing to offer, broke. That's how you come to the Lord, you know.
Right.
It's not like you come offering Him great things. Lord, you should be lucky if you got me, because I have so much to offer. And I think a lot of people are like her in other ways as well. You know, she spent all that she had on the physicians But how many people spend their wheels, all their time, energy, effort, money, just trying to find some peace or satisfaction or happiness in their life? Spend all their, maybe lost all their money gambling. They really thought maybe, hey, I'm going to win it big. I'm going to be happy. Or they burn themselves out on alcohol or drugs or just chasing wine, women, and song and whatever it may be. Y'all awake? I'm so unhappy. Maybe if I got married, I'd be happy. Get married, they're still not happy. Maybe if I got divorced, I'd be happy. If they get divorced, they're not happy. Maybe if I had a younger woman, I'd be happy. They get a younger woman, whoa, they really got trouble now. Amen. That's right. People are just not happy. They're just miserable. And when they hear of Jesus, instead of running to him, they say, oh, no, that doesn't work for me. That's not for me. This woman was at the end of herself. And she knew that Jesus was her only hope. Amen. Her only hope. And if people who come to the end of themselves would reach out to the Lord like this woman did, amen, they'd find what she found, right? But I think sometimes we do have to come to the end of ourselves, yep, the end of trying to figure things out for ourselves, and turn to the Lord for everything, amen, for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, for the healing of our body, mind, soul, and spirit. Just yes, the Lord. But look, also like this woman, verse 27, we must come to him. Verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press, that is, in the crowd. She kind of snuck in the back. She came to him. We have to go to Jesus. You know, we are responsible. Now, we know that the Lord, he is gracious. He draws us. He convicts us. But we're responsible as well. Amen. This woman had to take the initiative, and she had to come looking for Jesus. And she came despite all the excuses that she could offer. Despite her pain, her suffering, her disability, despite her past discouragements, she came to Jesus. She came despite the big crowd. You see a big crowd like that all around, that could discourage you right there. I'm not allowed in a crowd. I can't go in the midst of all those people. But you know, it didn't stop her, did it? Amen. Because she was desperate. She was desperate. Amen. She went despite the discouragements, despite the thoughts that could have discouraged her. And she came to the Lord with a great, confident expectation. I want you to hear the voice of this lady's faith in verse 28. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, here you have real expectation, real confidence, real faith. If I can just touch him, if I can just get to him and touch him, I'll be whole. There are so many passages in the Gospels where people touch the Lord and were healed or made whole.
Amen.
Listen to, I'm just going to read a couple verses to you. This is just a few examples. Mark chapter 3 and verse 10. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. If they could just touch him. Mark 6:56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they may touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. As many as touched him were made whole. Excuse me, if they could just touch him. How about those that the Lord touched? Like Mark 1, verse 40 and 41 and 42. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. A leper. Jesus moved with compassion, and put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. A leper. Jesus touched him. In Mark 7, beginning in verse 32, they brought unto him one that was deaf, and he had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And the guy said, ew, gross. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. There's so many accounts. There's the account in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. Jesus came into Peter's house. Peter's wife's mother was sick of a fever, the Bible says. And Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. You know, this woman, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch the Lord. That's what we have to do. We have to get through to the Lord, right? We touch him. I'm going to tell you a true story. 1964, this is, 52 years ago? 52 years ago, Dr. Dale Oldman was an evangelist who traveled a good part of the country preaching. He was well known in his circles and, from what I understand, a pretty powerful, straightforward Bible preacher. He had a young musician that traveled with him was not only very accomplished and anointed, but, you know, a young guy, he's only in his 20s, but the young man was also a pretty gifted songwriter. And one day, they had an evangelistic meeting, and after the meeting, so many lives were impacted and touched. And I think Oldman's message that night was on touching Jesus. And he told his young songwriter, he said, you know, somebody really ought to write a song about touching Jesus. He said, I think it could be powerfully used by the Lord. Amen. And it was kind of in a casual conversation. Well, that night, the young songwriter couldn't sleep. And he actually stayed up all night because his wife said when she got up the next morning, he was still up and he was working on a song. And that young songwriter was a fellow by the name of William Gaither. You know him as Bill Gaither. And the song he wrote was He Touched Me. And that song was recorded by Oldham's son, but later by Bill Gaither himself and his band. Amen. Was so powerfully used that several other recording artists recorded it through the years. I don't know if y'all remember the Imperials back in the early 70s, but they recorded it. It was such a powerful song that Elvis Presley heard it, and he wanted to record it, and he hired the Imperials to sing behind him. And then he put together an entire gospel album. Oh, Elvis Presley did. And you know, he won a Grammy for that. And the name of his album that won the Grammy, He Touched Me. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. Why? Because he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Well, it's a simple song. It's really not a very complicated song, and it has a simple message. You've got to touch Jesus. Have Him touch you. You've got to get through to Jesus. That's the bottom line. This is a broken, world, an angry world, a confused world, and life is messy and life is a mess, and we each and every one of us must personally get through and touch the Lord.
Amen.
And touch Him by faith with the same kind of confession that this woman had. If I can just touch Him, if I can touch Him, my life will change. My life will change. It's not like, you know, people today, they're so confused. They say, well, if I can just make more money, everything will be great. If I can just maybe get this advanced degree, if I can just buy that new car, if we could just move to a better house. None of those things. None of those things satisfy. What satisfies? What can change our life? Jesus. We got to get through to Jesus. One touch changed everything. Notice verse 29. Straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She was healed and she knew it. She felt it. She felt it immediately. Immediately she knew something has happened. I'm different. I'm changed. Well, how could you not be? But you know, you do have to touch the Lord with faith. Because a lot of people in that crowd touched the Lord. Judas touched the Lord. I mean, look, the Lord, when he was having the Last Supper, he dipped a sop in the wine and in the oil, and he handed it to Judas. I mean, you know Judas touched the Lord, but look what happened to him. So it's not enough if you don't reach out and touch the Lord by faith, believing that, look, He really did die for my sins. He really will forgive me. He will forgive me of all my horrid past, no matter what it is. He really will wash me clean. He really will. He really will accept me as His own. He really will. You have to believe that. He really will heal and deliver and transform my life. She felt it, verse 29, and not only that, verse 30, Jesus felt it. Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned around in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" He felt virtue go out of him. The Greek word is dunamis. It means power. In fact, that word is translated power many times, over 70 times in the New Testament. It's translated power. He knew. When she touched him, he knew. The Lord knows when we're believing.
Amen.
He knows when we're really trusting him. It's interesting the response of his disciples, verse 31. They said, "Lord, you in the middle of a throng of people. Everybody touched you. What do you mean, who touched you? This whole crowd's touching you, bumping into you." Yeah, but one touched him different from the others. And I like what this says here. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Somebody reached out in desperation and in faith and latched hold of the Lord. And he looked for her. He looked for this woman with faith. Verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Fearing and trembling. You want to remember, she had come to the Lord in secret. She snuck in the press in the back because she wasn't supposed to be there. She wasn't allowed to get into that crowd of people. So what she did was socially wrong. I mean, as an outcast, you know, as somebody unclean, she wasn't supposed to come and do that. She was unclean. You're not allowed to touch anybody. She not only crept in the crowd and bumped into all those people, but then she reached out and touched the Master. Took a lot of boldness to do that.
Amen.
Now, knowing that she'd been discovered, she came with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Because look, she'd ignored the law. That's a serious breach. She'd ignored the law. violated these commandments, did the Lord rebuke her?
No.
I like this when it says, she fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him the whole story. She told him everything. Lord, 12 years. 12 years, I've tried it all. Been to every physician around. Spent all my money. Outcast from everybody. I was desperate. And yes, I came through the crowd. I snuck my way in. I touched all those people. And by touching them, made them unclean. Wow. They didn't even know they were unclean.
Yeah.
Put them in a bad state with the Lord. I came through that press. I was so desperate. I had to touch you. The Lord did not rebuke her. The Lord rewarded her. I mean, she could have... Fearing and trembling, yeah, maybe the Lord would rebuke her. Maybe he would scold her. Maybe he would undo everything that had been done. But no, he put her fears to rest forever. He said, verse 34, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. No more fear, no more fretfulness, no more worry, no more anxiety. Go in peace. No more torments.
Amen.
Go in peace. Be whole of your plague. Her health was restored.
Amen.
More than that, her life was restored. Do you realize this woman could go back and resume a normal life after 12 years? Her relationships would be restored. Everything would change because she heard of Jesus and she came to him. She came to him. And she said, I have to touch him. I have to touch the Lord.
Amen.
Well, the Lord still heals broken lives.
Yes.
He still changes broken lives. He still delivers broken people.
Yes.
He still restores broken families. He still heals broken health.
Yes.
He still saves broken sinners. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know, even though he doesn't walk among us physically, he is still here.
Yes.
He's still among us. And we can pray and we can get through to him. We can touch him by faith. That's what she had to use, faith.
Amen.
She had to use faith. And we can reach out by faith. Don't think that the Lord won't hear the cry and prayer of a desperate man or a desperate woman. You know, it doesn't matter what a person struggles with, whatever sin, vexation, sickness, disease. We believe we serve a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
If we will humble ourselves and reach out to him and touch him by faith, ask for his help, his healing, his provision, his deliverance, I believe the Lord is delighted to bestow that upon those who ask. What a story. This is a lady whose life was ruined and she had no hope except Jesus.
Amen.
Too many times I have seen lives wrecked and ruined. We've seen lives ruined by drugs, by alcohol, by sin of every kind you can imagine.
You're right.
Families unraveled and destroyed because of these things. In fact, people all around us, people in our own families, people in our own neighborhoods, people that you grew up with, people that perhaps you went to school with, people that you know have family members, loved ones, and so forth, acquaintances, whose lives are wrecked and ruined by sin. And you know the Lord is the one who can heal them and restore them and transform them and change them. If only they will come to him. I just this week heard a tragic story of a young man. I knew his father very well. A young man who died just a young 30-something-year-old, life wrecked by drugs. So tragic when, had they turned to the Lord, how different an outcome it could have been.
Right.
I mean, this lady's life could have been far different, right?
You're right.
Had she just given up, thrown in the towel? But no, she came to Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what we have to do. And that's what we have to urge our loved ones and family members and friends to do. We have to remind them Jesus changes everything.
Amen.
He will change everything. But you must turn to Him. And you must turn to Him in absolute faith.
Amen.
No holding back anything. Turn to Him with all of your heart.
You're right.
And you know, He makes all things new. He makes all things well.
Amen. Right.
Today, if there's something that you need to turn to the Lord to do in your life, then I want to urge you to do it. If there's matters that you need to make right with Him, I believe the Lord is present to heal, to deliver.
Thank you, Lord.
To change, to save. Would you call on Him? Father, we pray today that You would come into each and every life, Lord, with grace, with healing mercy, with transforming power as we call upon You. Lord, we have so many family members, friends, loved ones whose lives are broken and wrecked and ravaged. And Lord, they need You so desperately. We pray that You would open their eyes and draw them to You, Lord.
Yes,
let them see You as their hope,
yes, Lord.
Their one and only hope, Lord.
Yes.
We ask, Lord Jesus, for mercy in our behalf and theirs. Reach out, Lord. Touch, we pray. Touch, heal, save,
yes, Lord.
Transform. Lord, we pray it in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We are going to receive.